This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Well, hundreds of women from across the United States pushed for gun reform at the Colorado State Capitol on Monday. Welcome back in. I am Tanner Schwint, Brian Carey, my co-host. They plan an all-day sit-in with the goal of persuading the governor to sign an executive order banning all firearms in the state of Colorado.
All firearms?
All firearms.
That's
in the
not
state
a bit extreme, is it?
Not even a little bit. Here for the Kids planned the sit-in at the state capitol and intends to return every day until their demands are met.
Well, I hope you don't have anything planned for the next 20, 30 years, because that will not happen.
Or, yeah, until they change the literal constitution of the right to bear arms. If they got rid of all firearms, that is a constitutional change. You got, you know.
There's a big difference between looking at some that you want to have examined and should these be available,
right,
as to all.
Right. And this is, they just say all. They plan to ask what Governor Jared Polis signed their drafted executive order to ban guns and implement a statewide buyback program, so that not only that, but we can have our government pay us with our taxes to buy the guns back from us to ban all of these. Polis released a statement Monday that said he shares the concerns over public safety, but that his staff met with the organizers and expressed concerns the group's requests were either unconstitutional or require legislative action, which is 100% correct. The group's vision is grand, even daunting, but how does a group of mothers think they can get the governor to take executive action on guns? Do they actually think it could work, banning guns in the Centennial State? Elise Blum told Nine News last month, "Yeah, we get that a lot. I hear that it sounds out there. It sounds out there to me still, but I'm deep in the work, which helps, and I really, really believe with every fiber in my being that this is something that we can do." When you say that, when you say it to yourself, it sounds out there. It's probably out there.
It is. I applaud the reasoning,
yeah,
you know, and what they're hoping for as a result, and so forth. And you know, maybe this is one of those where you just shoot so high and be so,
right,
you know, out there that you know the realization is somewhere below that.
And it 100% is. You know, we're both gun owners. We both have gun advocate friends out there. I'm willing, and I think most Republicans, which is normally the right side of where the guns are, I think most people are willing to have that conversation to say, okay, maybe the legal age should be 21 to buy a gun. Maybe it should be, you know, maybe we should have this X, Y, or Z background checks done. Maybe we should expand the research that goes into the people who are buying guns.
I would like there to be some open mind and not just a hard no on everything. We can't even talk about it.
And I think we're there, Brian. I think we are, but this is also where, and I'll be honest, this is the frame of the school of thought that scares me a little bit, is that it's you give an inch and then are they going to try and take a mile when it comes to this? You know what I mean? Like, if you give in a little bit, what reassurance do we have that, okay, well, we set a precedent, now we can do this, let's go and try and take all. It sounds crazy, but that's what this group is trying to do to pressure, is say, hey, we need to get rid of every single gun out there, no matter what it is. And I think that's got a lot of unintended consequences that come along
with
it.
This is just a group saying that. You have never heard anybody in the government say that there is going to be a truck coming door to door to come and take your guns.
No, no.
That's the overreaction that drives me crazy.
Not that way, shape, or form, but the ban of any sellable firearms for the future and stuff like that. There are certainly members of the government who want that, where there are no more guns being made and sold. But this is the thing that we've talked a lot about. Both sides of this gun debate make so much damn money off this debate that it's going to be hard for me to see either side actually do anything about it. It's like, yeah, we're going to complain about it. We're going to fight about it. We're going to go to our constituents and say they're trying to do that. For the left, saying they don't want to get, we need to get rid of the guns, we need to put this ban in, we need to reelect so and so to make sure that this happens, and then we're gonna give on this side, and then the Republicans, they're coming for our guns, and then they're gonna get money on this side. They just make so much money off this argument. It's hard for me to fathom something like this ever happening.
It's been a debate for a long time, and it will continue to be. But I'm Look, I own a gun. Do I think that there's some dialogue that could certainly be had about 100%. What kind of weapons and should everything be available to everybody and ages and those kind of things? I definitely think it can be improved, and I probably would approve some things and like to see some things that a majority of gun owners would be mad as hell at me over. But look, I'm one too. You know, I've got one, and my reason for having it is for self-protection.
Right. No,
I want to protect my home, and I should have the right to do that. And that's all I need is that.
Right.
I don't need a howitzer out my window, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of debate that will continue to happen with it, but you almost have to shoot extreme unrealistic before you can even get any dialogue to settle on something that isn't that bombastic.
Yeah. Well,
you know, so, I mean, do they really think this? Or is this something, let's just throw that out there and see what happens? But
settle down, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, and I'll be interested to see.
This will not happen.
I'll be interested to see if they're back today because they said they're going to be there until this happens. It's just
one stormy day. Yeah. I had to wipe that out.
Yeah, come on, rain. Come on, rain.
It certainly happened.
The Poudre School District is partnering with the Colorado State University that will bring dozens of new mental health workers to K-12 schools. This is a really cool program. The Colorado reports the one-of-a-kind internship and fellowship program is funded by nearly $10 million over 5 years. It was prompted by the Healthy Kids Survey that found 1 in 5 Poudre School District high school students reported seriously considering suicide in the last year. Any student pursuing a master's in social work at CSU is eligible to apply for internships and fellowships. For the full details, go to the Fort Collins, Colorado. And I love this. I love this promotion of the mental health workers getting into the schools and really growing from there. I think that's an area where if we can take some of that burden off of the teachers even. Like, I know that's not the first line of thought. Obviously, the first line of thought is to make sure that these kids who have considered this have the appropriate resources to talk to somebody. But a lot of times, those are teachers in there having to have these conversations. And teachers aren't trained for that. Teachers aren't trained to have those type of conversations. Now, they do a hell of a job at it, but getting more mental health workers in there, the better for everybody involved.
I couldn't agree with that more. As somebody who, including myself, just about every generation of the family has needed to talk to somebody.
Right. No, I think everybody's needed to talk to somebody. It's, do you have the people in your family to talk to? Do you need to go find somebody? You know what I mean? Everybody has somebody.
You need to talk outside of the family.
Yeah,
100%. There's some kind of comfort in that, in the ears of a stranger.
News for Northern Colorado. I got a weird question for you. When you get hiccups, how do you get them to try and stop?
I have two methods.
Okay.
All right. One is I hold my breath and count as fast as I can to 30.
Okay.
And if I can get there, great. I've done it. Then they're going to be gone.
Yeah.
The other was, honestly, Todd Harding.
Yeah.
For 30 years on the air, I'd start to get the hiccups. Mm-hmm. And he would stare me in the eye and say, you don't have the hiccups. Do it. Come on. You think you have the hiccups? Come on, big boy.
He intimidated the
hiccups
out of you.
He would look at me and stare me and say, hiccup right now. You think you got them? Prove it. Prove it, you loser. And I could not come up with one, and they would disappear.
Yeah, I tell you that, and I'm a bully.
I know.
Well, there's some interesting approaches to getting rid of these, of hiccups. But a Longmont company could be behind the cure to the hiccups. BizWest first reported Higher Innovations created a modified adjustable plastic straw-like device called the Hickaway. CEO Victor Felber.
Sounds like it'd get rid of cousins at your place.
Felber.
I had all my cousins come over. I used Hickaway, and they were just stuck to that strip outside on the porch. Then my brother Tori came.
Victor Felberg, I am going to kick your you-know-what, appeared on the popular Shark Tank to tout the idea and grossed $774,000 in sales last year. The device, which requires a person to sup from a glass of water and stimulates nerves that allow the brain to reset and stop the hiccups.
Do what from a glass of water?
Sup.
What is that?
Drink.
Yeah. Okay.
A study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association shows the device was 92% effective In stopping the hiccups, get the full story at bizwest.com.
Thanks. I'll go with the hold my breath or the complete terror
Wait for you to get the hiccups. We're taking a break instantly, and I'm going to say things you never even dreamed about hearing. 7:18, it's Good Morning NoCo. You know somebody in your family like to make salsa or make green chili or something like that, Brian?
I wish I did. Actually, my wife makes a fantastic green chili. We don't do salsa, but she makes one of the best green chilies I've had.
And my aunt makes some of the best salsa that I've had. And
really?
I didn't know this about the Chugwater Chili Cook-Off, but anyone and everyone is encouraged to enter in there. So if you know somebody who is...
Oh, really?
Makes really good salsa or green chili or cobbler or whatever. You can go enter this at Jugwater Chili Cook-Off coming up June 17th.
Cobbler?
Yeah.
Now, I always hear you think Chugwater Chili Cook-Off. You're thinking just chili.
No,
there's all these other. Oh, okay.
That's right. There's live music, complimentary horse drawn wagon rides, a car show as well. It's Chugwater Chili Cook-Off, the 37th annual Wyoming State Championship Chili Cook-Off. Festivities will take place in Stats Park in Chugwater, Wyoming. It began way back in 1986, Brian. And this is something I know. We talked a lot about it last year, too. But this is something that I know a lot of people get really excited about.
You know, when I first moved here, in the 1980s, it had obviously just started because I got here in about 88.
Yeah.
And already I would, we went by the town. We went by the sign. I said, Chugwater. I said, that's a pretty cool name. I like that. And then, Chili Cook-Off. They were advertising it then. And then to see how it has grown and grown and grown over the decades, you knew they were onto something there. At that time. But it's really turned into such a fun family event. And now people come from out of town and they, will hang out, make a day and a night of it,
Well, and this has got to drive a lot of Chugwater's annual GDP of the money that they make.
There's no doubt, yeah.
This Chugwater Chili Cook-Off. Go to Chugwater.
It's like the Sturgis of chili.
Yes, 100%. ChugwaterChiliCookoff.org. That's ChugwaterChiliCookoff.org to learn more about this. We'll have some guests joining us in the next couple of weeks to talk more about this event coming
up. Yeah, I think we visited with some folks last year.
Yeah.
When this rolled around, and it was a cool interview because I remember hearing all the different things that they had going on and thinking, man, I had no idea what a jam-packed day. And you had me at cobbler.
Yeah, I knew was going to get you there.
Pretty much distracted me.
7:25, it's Good Morning NoCo, presented by Air Solutions on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. What I'm getting the most out of our poll question today, Brian, is people just don't like change.
Yeah, and I think that that's going to be the majority of answers when it comes to why do you have an iPhone?
Yeah, hey, I got this one first.
Why do you have an Android? So whatever you got comfortable with to start with, knew how to use, and then why would you change, once you've got it figured out? I think because when we first started getting these, none of us really knew a lot about them or any of that.
Right.
So if you got it figured out, it's like...
Just stick with it.
Yeah, that's the way I feel.
That's the one thing that I do appreciate about Apple is that they didn't change it up too much. Like even the updates and stuff like that, it's still got that semblance of the very first one that you had.
They get you with those plugins, with the adapters, with all those kind of things. I wish it was more universal. I can see where people think iPhone is a little snobby because of that,
right?
Because of the proprietary rules that they have with their phones.
Yeah. Karina says Android because it's user friendly. I'm not tech savvy. See, and I think the exact opposite of Android. I use an iPhone because I'm not tech savvy. I think the Android can do way more in terms of the programming behind it and everything like that. But I don't think anybody knows how to do any of that stuff. So I'm just giving you my simple little iPhone here.
Wouldn't it be if you're using an Android that you would have the technologies available by all sorts of minds, where if you have the iPhone, you are stuck with whatever Apple decides?
Correct, yeah.
So if you were starting from scratch, to me it would make no sense to get an iPhone.
No, probably not.
If I were starting over, you know, and didn't have so much invested in this and that, okay, look, I know which buttons to push to do this.
It's like you got to start, you're one of the rare exceptions where your tablet's not a Mac, right?
No.
Like, as you're looking at me, I got a Mac here, because, like, if I wanted to, I can pair my phone up with it, I could just respond to text messages on here. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I don't do it either. But, you know, most people just stick to whatever it is that they've got, you know, whatever.
Right.
Loyal to the brand, I guess. Yeah.
No, you're right. I know people who are, look, everything Apple. They've got everything that goes that way, where I'm like, what's on sale?
Doug said started with Android, and I just don't like change, so he's rolling with the Android.
Yeah, Linda, iPhone, Wendy, iPhone, Michelle, Android for me. Tim says iOS for sure, and I think that's the Apple.
Yeah.
Doug said Droid, and Julie, Android definitely. So you're seeing people are generally set.
Yeah.
You know, and what they're going. It's not like, well, I'm on the fence. It's like, no, I use this, and here's why.
Yeah. No, that has certainly been the case so far this morning. Chris Wood, editor and publisher with BizWest, joins us next. But first, bottom of the hour, news and Weather Center. Seven 36 the time on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for being with us. I'm Tanner Schwint, Brian Gary, my co-host, Angel Padilla, doing the production work today. And joining us now up on the hotline, it is Chris Wood, editor and publisher with BizWest. Chris, how are you on a Tuesday?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Hey, we are absolutely fantastic. Thanks for jumping on as always, man. We appreciate you, Chris.
I love doing it. I wish we had a little bit of sunshine out there, though.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, man. I am so ready for it. It doesn't even feel like it's been Colorado, man. And I know Brian's good without the sunshine. But
I love it. Yeah, I'm a fungus, so I enjoy just just letting that moisture just all
I don't
around.
Even have to insult him anymore. He just takes care of it himself.
Yeah, I do.
He does it himself.
Chris, I got to ask you our Happy Life Gardens poll question today. Are you an Android or an iPhone guy?
iPhone all the way.
iPhone all the way. Why is that?
I like the user interface, and also I'm a Mac guy, so it interfaces, of course, very well with a Mac.
Yeah, now that makes sense, and that's why a lot of people, they'll stay in that family.
Right.
You know?
They'll stay on all the Apple stuff. But I was that's our question today, and it's amazing to me how many people are like, you know, this was the first one I got, and I really don't like to change. And I think that's a lot of the reasoning behind what type of phone people have.
I think that's right. And it's just really nice to have that seamless infrastructure connection between the different devices. So iPad, iPhone, Mac, it all works.
You know, especially when, you know, somebody who does like what you do for a living, Chris, I mean, you've got to have all your devices speaking to each other, and it just makes work much more seamless. So I can totally understand where you would definitely want to have everything working together.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you ever have a BlackBerry?
I never did, no. No, I used to have a Trio.
Okay, that was, I always wanted a BlackBerry for some reason.
There were so many little numbers and digits.
Well, because, I don't know, I mean, growing up, I just loved watching Adam Schefter, you know, all the busy business guys, right, breaking news, always had the little BlackBerry stuff. And I'm like, they're not very practical, but that's what they all had.
It was practical at the time and was definitely a very popular business tool.
There's a documentary about the creators of BlackBerry and that kind of thing that's out right now. It's very, very interesting.
I have to take a look at that. All right, let's dive in. Chris, talk to me about Bitwise, a California company.
Yeah, this is a company that had raised a lot of money, I think about $157 million. And they were looking at expanding into a lot of different markets to provide software coding training for individuals. So they teach people how to code software. And they had announced a while back plans to go into downtown Greeley. And they have had leased space right there on 8th Street downtown. And we're working on doing some renovations there in preparations for opening up. But that has not happened, and Bitwise overall has imploded nationally. Mm. They have laid off hundreds of people and is shutting down operations. They also face a lawsuit from a financial services company. They, as you know, a lot of businesses were able to get payroll tax rebates for retaining employees.
Right.
And they had contracted with a company to provide them that cash up front, and then that reimbursement from the federal government would have gone to that company. Instead, the accusation is in a lawsuit that Bitwise kept and spent that money. So they faced that lawsuit. A lot of accusations about how they spent money overall around the country and with their executives. And the in terms of Greeley, the company, we were told by the landlord for their space on it's actually on 9th Street, 810 9th Street. So their landlord says they had not been paying rent and they were sent a notice of default. So this was something that was expected to be pretty nice for downtown Greeley and for the city overall, having this training located right downtown on 9th Street. But it is not apparently not to be, and Bitwise encountering a lot of difficulties around the country. If you Google Bitwise right now, you will see many, many articles about their situation.
No, it seems like we're
is
seeing
that our building.
A couple of we're 820 11th Avenue. We're close, right? I had the same thought. We're close. It seems like we're seeing this kind of pop back up again. You know, talk a little bit, and I don't know how much you've dug in on the Elizabeth Holmes thing with Theranos or anything like that, Chris. But these what you consider white collar crimes, right? That we see sometimes go kind of over the head of everybody who's not paying attention or not in that economic world, but this affects a lot of people when there's business malpractice taking place.
Well, and we don't know that that's the case here. We know that they're having difficulties and there's some accusations
right.
That have been floated. They have not, there's not been any legal ruling about their situation. But yeah, it's a big deal. This one, the employee retention credits that they were, that were supposed to go to this other company, amounted to about $6.1 million. So they were fronted that cash up front. And, according to the lawsuit, we're told that that money should have gone, was not to be spent by them if they received it, was to go to this, financial, services company. And instead, apparently, it did not. So, we have reached out to Bitwise, and they have not returned calls. But they're getting a lot of calls from all over the country right now. So we don't know what will happen. But they did furlough about 900 employees around the country last week. So this is a very big deal. It, the company said that it suspended its operations as of May 30th.
Wow. Now, speaking of cutting workforces, another one of your story, Meaty, the meat alternative company, apparently cutting their workforce. Are they having less workers? Or are they incorporating those workers into the Meaty product?
Well, Meaty is based out of Boulder. This is its official name is Emergy Incorporated, but Meaty with an I. They're the meat alternative company that has mushroom based whole food proteins. They have laid off a small number of workers, about 17, about 5% of their staff. But it really is indicative of a slowing, kind of a retrenchment in the meat alternative industry. We have seen layoffs from Beyond Meat, from Impossible Foods. And as you recall, not too long ago, JBS in late 2022, JBS announced that it was shutting down its Lafayette-based plant foods unit, Plantera Foods Company. So
right.
There's definitely been a slowdown in this sector around the country. There are layoffs being reported all over. And the latest one here, a small number, but significant for 17 workers for Meaty Foods in Boulder.
Well, we've had this conversation time and time again, Chris, about this specific industry, but I think it spreads to these other ones where you see a couple companies in maybe a niche market really start to take off, and then everyone's like, oh, if they can do it in that market, then we can too. And then the market gets overcrowded, and the people who aren't doing things, you know, the right way or didn't have the right marketing plan or business plan in front of them, they're going to fall off because at the end of the day, it's still a niche market for people who are looking for the plant-based alternative or whatever the case may be to meat, the alternative to meat.
Yeah, it is a niche market, but it has been growing fast until recently. Meaty, earlier this year, projected that by 2025, its revenues would reach $1 billion. So this is not a small company. I mean, it's still small in the grand scheme of the industry, but there has been great potential there. I think one of the things that has affected these companies is inflation. Because some of the products are more expensive anyway, and inflation has really driven up some of their own costs and costs for consumers overall. So we're seeing that affect the industry. There are other cases. There are attempts to file class action shareholder lawsuits against Beyond Foods. There are lots of things going on in the industry right now. In terms of their revenue and their financial performance.
Could the reason some of these companies now having to cut back, could it be that people have finally tasted the product?
I don't know that that's a factor, Brian.
Have you tried it yet, Chris?
I have not. I would probably give it a go. But,
would you?
Well, I have not yet.
See, I can't stand mushrooms, first of all. So
I do really like mushrooms.
I am with you on that. So I am skeptical of that just for that reason.
Well, I think this industry is just interesting because we have seen, you know, more vegan options and vegetarian options.
But there's a
platform.
You can overgrow it. Yeah, as Chris was talking about right away with this.
Right.
Yeah,
for
saturation
sure.
of the market all of a sudden.
Chris Wood, editor and publisher with BizWest, joining us. We've been following along with your story coming out of BizWest about the Northern Colorado Regional Airport. They've got a change in leadership.
Yeah, Jason Lacone, the executive director, the airport manager, had resigned pretty suddenly a few weeks ago. It was actually effective here last week. But they now have named an interim director, David Ruppel, who has a lot of experience in Colorado. He's a consultant with a Centennial-based airline aviation consulting company. He has taken over on an interim basis at a time of, I will just say, at a time of turbulence for the airport. They are dealing with a lot of things right now. They have been working for years to develop a remote air traffic control facility. That has been stalled and in terms of its technology and development and approval from the Federal Aviation Administration. So they're still awaiting FAA approval. That is a big deal. They have the controversy with some of the hangars and an executive station that the airport board had in March. Where they are closing hangars and displacing four dozen owners of private aircraft. So there's a lot of controversy surrounding that action. And they are looking to develop a new $22 million terminal building with some financing from the federal government, from the CARES Act, but also from the cities of Loveland and Fort Collins, which own the airport. And at the same time, I think the airport is looking at its own governance structure and how it is run. It's kind of a clunky structure right now, being owned by two cities. So a lot on the plate for the new director of NOCO Regional.
Well, it just feels like it's a pivotal time with Northern Colorado growing as fast as we are. You know that airport is going to come into more and more of a role, or could have
Absolutely.
More and more of a role of what's going on here. So it's a big time for the regional airport to figure this stuff out. Chris, before we let you go, I got to tell you, we did this story just a couple of minutes ago that came out of BizWest.com about the cure for hiccups coming from a Longmont company. I thought this was interesting. Did you have a home remedy to get rid of hiccups? And then tell us, if you can, a little bit. I've got the story pulled up here, too. But tell us a little bit more about this this Longmont company.
Yeah, when I was a kid, we just used the old standard thing. We would use a paper sack, a paper bag, and try to make that work. I don't know that it really worked very well, but that was our homemade home cure. But there is a company out of Longmont now. It's called Higher Innovations Incorporated, and they developed this little adjustable plastic straw-like device called the HICC-Away, H-I-C-C-Away, that they got some attention from Mark Cuban from Shark Tank.
Ah.
And they were on Shark Tank, and they actually have sold about $750,000 worth of product this year, $774,000 in sales last year, rather. And it's pretty simple. The person with hiccups places the device in a glass of water, and they suck on this device fairly hard to get a sip. And basically, it triggers this reaction that helps to stop the hiccups. So it's very science based, and we'll see what happens with this company. But the devices are it's based in Longmont. The company is based in Longmont, and the devices are manufactured right in Longmont.
That's pretty cool.
So many people used to do the, okay, if you scare somebody,
yeah,
it'll help them get rid of the hiccups. No, what I found is that just gets you hit.
Yeah.
You know, in a lot of situations.
It does. We always did, like, where you plug your ears and you have to take, like, 7 drinks of water or whatever.
Yeah, I'd heard that one,
too. That was one that I tried.
Yeah,
but
everybody's got these remedies.
They're touting a 92% effectiveness on this. So I could just see somebody freaking out. Where's my HICC-Away? Where's my HICC-Away? It's like, what?
Exactly.
What is going on? Chris Wood, editor and publisher with BizWest, BizWest.com. Chris, what do you got coming up? And can you tell us a little bit about your downtown series that's coming up in just a couple of
weeks? This week, Thursday, we have our IQ Awards and Mercury 100 celebration in Boulder. And then next week on June 16th, we're having a really cool thing. It's something we've never done before. It's called A Day in the Life of Downtown Greeley. So we will be on the plazas and going all around downtown on Friday, June 16th, drumming up stories and really trying to chronicle not only the trends that have been happening in downtown Greeley with a lot of the redevelopment that we've seen there for several years now, but also what are some of the businesses downtown? What is life like downtown? So we're going to be producing a magazine for this effort, and also a website. And then we will be doing this in other cities over the coming years as well. This is a very big project. We'll have probably a couple dozen stories at least coming out of this, but not only stories in print and online, but also a lot of videos and interactive maps and things of that sort. So, yeah, we're very excited by it.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And when we talked a little bit about it, Chris, we talked that it's not just all sunshine and rainbows. Like, you're going to talk about that. What are the problems facing this area? What are the problems facing this? And it's going to be a very realistic approach to this, which I'm very grateful for. I think that's what we need to be telling the people.
Yeah, you know, every downtown has challenges. Every downtown has opportunities, and we'll be looking to tell those stories.
All right, Chris, appreciate your time as always, my friend.
All right, thank you, guys.
Take care, man.
There you go. There's Chris Wood, editor and publisher with BizWest. Covered a lot of ground there with him, as always. Let's keep the kind of that tech theme, the economic tech theme going with Kim Komando. Our Happy Life Gardens poll question today, Android or iPhone? What do you use and why? Holyoke texting in, Android. Does the same thought apply to video game systems? And is there a correlation between the two, iPhone, PlayStation, Android, Xbox? It's kind of interesting because I started iPhone, had Xbox. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just the anomaly here. I will tell you this. I started with an Xbox, bought a PlayStation, and I don't think I'll ever buy another Xbox again.
Really?
Yeah, I made the switch over, and I don't think I'll ever buy another Xbox again. The PlayStation was much better. Now, Android, and were you Xbox or PlayStation, Angel?
I had a PlayStation for the longest time.
Yeah, so I don't.
Yeah, I was recently. Nintendo.
Yeah, well,
Nintendo is like
you were
in between. It's like the middle ground. Well, there was a huge thing, like console wars was a thing.
Oh, for sure.
With like PlayStation versus Xbox, it's kind of dissipated in the last few years because of the rise of PC gaming.
Right.
You can get all the same games on your computer.
Good
you can
point.
Put way more into it.
But Brian was carrier pigeons and marbles is what he was. He wasn't iPhone and Xbox.
No. We had smoke signals and birds with messages tied to their legs. You're right. But the birds weren't real. So
no. No, they weren't. Those government drones confusion. Used to serve a purpose. All right, hour number three coming up. It's Good Morning NoCo.